Good morning. Happy Monday. Anybody excited about midterms? That's pretty good. Two announcements this morning. The first, if you are interested in being a student leader with campus ministry, I want to encourage you to go to our website today and fill out a brief common application, whether you're interested in worship team or being a small group leader or being an immersion trip leader. We want you to fill out a common application that's on our website. And once you fill that out, it's pretty short, it won't take long, then we can send you the more detailed application for each of these different areas. And those are due this week. So if that's something you're interested in for next year, make sure you head to our website and fill that out ASAP. Secondly, the Office of Diversity and Inclusion is starting a project on Wednesday, a project that is seeking to foster encouragement and support in our community by way of a journal, some daily reflections about what is good in the world. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. There are journals that are going to be available around campus. You can pick them up in our office or their office, kind of some different places scattered around campus. But look for those journals and make sure that you participate. Let me pray to start us off. God, we are thankful for so many things this Monday morning. Whether we realize it or not, we have so much to be thankful for. But most of all, God, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen. Stories are really powerful. So for example, I could tell you something, an idea, but if I tell you a story about this idea, it's gonna stick more. Does that make sense? So I could tell you it's a bad idea to eat too many sweets in one sitting. Or I could tell you a story about a time when I ate 22 Rice Krispie treats in one evening and got very ill. The story is probably gonna stick more, right? Stories enliven our imaginations. They stick in our memories longer. They cut right to the heart when we're in a bad place. They speak right to our sorrow when we need an encouragement. Stories are powerful. And I think that's why the gospel is a story. It's not just a philosophical idea, some concept that we learn the bullet points of, but the gospel is a person, is a life story, the life story of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And Lent is a time in the church when we meditate on this story. And so for the next few weeks in chapel, that's what we're going to be doing. We are going to be going through the gospel story in Matthew to help tune our ears and ready our feet for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. And to help frame this story, we want to tell you all another story. It's going to be a story that will serve as a visual guide for us these next few weeks in chapel, and it goes something like this. There once was a man named Otto. Some people know what they want to do from a young age. I don't know if that's you, but when Otto was growing up, he knew that he wanted to do something specifically with art. He loved art all throughout his childhood, and he had a different enthusiasm for it than most people do. So as a teenager, he spent 4 years as a painter's apprentice, learning the ins and outs and the brush strokes and paint ratios and the processes and the routines of an artist's life. Then, when he was 18 years old, Otto applied to enroll in the Dresden Academy of Applied Arts. He was on his way to paint his life and career with many colors. And then the world around him exploded, almost literally. You see, Otto was a young 20-something when tensions in his country ran so high that they snapped and World War I broke out. Otto lived in Germany. He was a passionate guy, eager to engage in culture and current events around him. He was eager to try to figure out what his role in the world was, what his next step was. So he eagerly and enthusiastically enlisted in the German army. Being in the army, however, was not quite as glamorous as Otto thought. Otto survived 4 years as a combat soldier, the guys on the ground with guns, on both the Eastern and the Western fronts during the war, and it totally traumatized him. Horrific scenes from war haunted Otto, even in his dreams, for the rest of his life. After the war, Otto went back to being an artist. Now, at first, he jumped right into this expressionist movement. He liked that it was anti-establishment. But as he got more and more into these trends and got to know the artists that were leading this movement, he became more and more disenchanted with it. He thought a lot of these artists were self-indulgent and self-centered, and he wondered what the point of it all was. You see, Otto thought that art should stem from reality, that art should encourage others to engage the world around them, to engage the social scene or the political scene, to push for change in some way. So he put his thoughts into action, and he began to create art that sent powerful messages. He created images that depicted the horrors of war. He created images that depicted the troublesome parts of the German government at the time, their cruelty, their extravagance, their inequality. And the Nazis hated him. And they let him know that. They took his job away as an art teacher, and they forced him to retreat into some mountain village. And it was there in that village that Otto hid for the remainder of World War II. Years went by, and as it is with most traumatic events, the dust began to settle. And as the dust began to settle in Otto's mind and in post-war Germany, that's when questions of faith started to bubble up. So where is God in all of this? In this country, in this culture, in these wars? And where are the Christians? In this government, in this resistance, in this injustice, how does the Bible speak to our current realities? Where is Jesus in this place? And what is Jesus calling us to do? These were the questions that were plaguing Otto's mind. And because he's an artist, these questions and these answers, Otto communicated them through art. And so in 1960, Otto Dix was commissioned to create 33 images from the Gospel of Matthew. And these images, he tells the story of the gospel, but he tells this story of the gospel while standing in the rubble of his own life, in the rubble of life in Germany in the early 20th century. They're beautifully raw, sketched images. They're lithographs. The characters that he drew and the emotions that he painted echo the life and the time that he was in. The scenes that he portrayed send a message. You see, he uses the Gospel of Matthew to understand Jesus and the world around him. What would that look like for us to do? I think we have to learn to read the gospel story and to use the gospel to interpret life around us. So, I want to introduce to you Otto Dix this morning and give you a chance to hear this story of the gospel in its entirety, kind of like you're reading a book before you fall asleep at night. I want you to hear this whole story before we dive into these specific parts the next couple weeks. And Sacred Dance is going to help me tell it well. When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem, his disciples brought him a donkey. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks and branches from the trees on the road. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "I am deeply grieved, even to death." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Then Judas, one of the disciples, arrived, and with him a large crowd with swords and clubs. Now Judas had given them a sign saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then he remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, they led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And Pilate said to the crowd, "What should I do with this Jesus who's called the Messiah?" And they said to him, "Let him be crucified." He asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So the soldiers took Jesus. They stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They spat on him and beat him. And after mocking him, they led him away to crucify him. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land, and then Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he breathed his last. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see Jesus' tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead." So they left the tomb with fear and with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And Jesus came to them all and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Go in peace.